you're receiving, which of the marks are your children receiving? What can we do to make certain that we have the correct mark? What can we do to make positive that not only we personally, individually can be receiving the correct mark, but also make certain that our children, our grandchildren are receiving the correct mark? What can we do? I want to give you three things quickly. Take out a pencil and paper if you take notes. No. If you don't, maybe you've got a photographic memory. But maybe you can remember these things, because there are three essential things that we must learn to do beginning with childhood, or whenever that we come into a born-again experience at least, and then we do these three things. And if we'll do these three things, then we'll know some things that we need to do. Give me the next frame, please. How do we make certain that we are receiving the correct mark? And how do we make certain that our children are receiving the correct mark? Today is concentrating on a dedication service, a baby dedication. I'm dedicating Maxwell Gilreath Spencer to the Lord. It begins a process. It begins a marking process. He's going to be marked to see the face of God. We're starting something now that should carry on in its fulfillment to a place where he sees the face of God. What we're doing here is not incidental. It's not some religious little thing that we go through here. This is something that means something, or we wouldn't do it. It means something. It means something to Maxwell Gilreath Spencer. It means something special to him. It means something special not only to him, but to my great-great-great-grandchildren. You with me? It means something for my genealogies distant to come. So it's good. It's good. Number one. What is number one? Number one is presenting. We must present ourselves. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. And we must present our children. Jesus was even presented to the Lord. Now, if it was important for him to be presented to the Lord, how much more important is it for us to present our children to the Lord? It says, he's presented to the Lord. Look what Luke chapter 2, verse 22 says. No, back. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem. Why? To present him to the Lord. Now, please notice just a couple of things. The days of her purification. It was up to the parents. The parents had to bring him. He was an infant. They were beginning a process in his life. Us as parents must bring our children and present them to the Lord. It was when she was ready. It was when Mary and Joseph had come to the conclusion, we need to get this done. They brought him. And they presented him to the Lord. There's a presentation that happens to the with the children. We present them. We speak a blessing upon them. A presenting happens, and it's initiated. The process is initiated, and things begin to happen from a time of presenting. That's why it's important. I have us sometimes come in here on Sunday mornings. One of the first things we do is we present ourselves to the Lord, because what happens during the service is determined how we present ourselves. How will we present ourselves? How do you present your children to the Lord? Have you dedicated them? Have you presented them? I see a lot of kids coming to church, but I don't see them have a life that's taking them to the face of God. In fact, I see the opposite. Oftentimes, I see kids in church, but I see them going to hell. Is that possible? Why? Because there's not a mark that's taking place. So the first thing we've got to realize, recognize, and make certain in our own lives as we're presented, but also in our children's lives, that our children have been presented to the Lord. Years ago, at this particular time, the sanctuary was in the opposite direction. The platform area was over there. And anyway, it was long ago, and I was ministering on this particular thought of presenting our children to the Lord. And we had moved into a lot of dedication services, and I really wanted the people to understand what was happening. We saw the necessity of the Word of God, of presenting our children to the Lord. And so we declared and decreed that in a couple of weeks we would have a dedication service. We would have plenty of time to get them there. We'd have our children come. And no matter how old they were, if they had never been presented to the Lord, that they would be presented. We had some 50-year-old children down there that we were presenting to the Lord. Hallelujah! Why? Because that's what it's supposed to be. There's supposed to be a point in time when there is a presenting to the Lord. Number one is what? Presenting. Number two, training. training. Now, how many knows that Aaron and Moses and Aaron and his sons could, all these priests could speak all these things over the people, but if they didn't carry it out, if that's all there was to it, was just a speaking the blessed, that really wasn't a whole lot going to happen. Something may begin, but it wasn't going to really take place. They needed to take it to the next level. And we need to understand that presenting is only a part. We can bring our children here, and I can lift them up, and I can pray all kinds of things and speak all kinds of things over them. But until there's a training, not a whole lot's going to happen. How many believe that an Israeli could be circumcised but still live a life like hell? You can present your child, you can have your child water baptized, and they still experience hell. I'm not saying they're going to hell. I'm not even going to go in that area. I'm just saying they can live a life of hell. They can go through a lot of hell in life. And talk in tongues. And come on, somebody. Because there's no training. The marking process continues from presenting to training. Look what Ephesians, I want to read it out of the NIV, also out of the King James, because King James was the one that Jesus used. So I want to make sure we use that one, and then we'll read it from the NIV as well. Ephesians 6:4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Just remember that. I'm going to talk about that in just a second. Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You got to bring them to a place, an assembly such as this one, or a church, where they will get nurture and admonition, nutrition in their soul dimension. Nurture. They can get something to eat on and something to ingest into their soul being. The Word of God is able to save our souls. You see, they need the Word of God properly presented to them as a mother would properly prepare a meal to set her children down and properly give nutrition to the body. It's my job to properly prepare a meal and let your children sit down, let you sit down to properly receive nutrition for your soul. The nurture. The admonition of the Lord. What's right and what's wrong? They need to know. They need to know. They need to be instructed. They need the training of the Lord. And then looking at the NIV version of it, it says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Now, what does King James say? Do not provoke. How many of you ever got exasperated when you can remember your parents telling you to do something and they didn't do it themselves? And they say, I didn't say do what I do. I said do what I said do. You're just exasperating your kid. That don't make sense to them. And you know what? They're not going to do it except you're watching them. Because most of the time they're not going to do like you say do. They're going to do like you do. You exasperate. What does he mean? He doesn't do that himself. What do you mean, get up and go to Sunday school? He doesn't even go to Sunday school. Read my Bible, pray. He never see him read it. Don't exasperate your children. Let them see you doing this stuff that you're talking about. Exasperate them. Do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instructions of the Lord. Get the nutrition, the training, get the information that they need to have in their soul dimension. Train them up. Next verse. Train up a child in the way he should go. Come on. When he's old, what's going to happen? He's still going to hang out there. You train him up. You don't beat him up. You train them up. Now, sometimes a rod might be involved in the training process. But the principle is that you're training it. You're bending it gradually without breaking it. You're causing it to grow in the structure and the way you want it to look. What is it? The bonsai thing? Tree? They train them things to look like that by gradually bending the leaves and the limbs. You train up a child in the way he should go. Train them up. No, they won't depart from it. What's the first one? Presenting. Number two, training. You got to put them where they can be trained. You got to bring them to the house of the Lord. Just presenting them won't get it done. And neither will getting the information to them. You've got to live it out in front of them and with them. And then the third one is you've got to instruct and discuss. The discussions will be based around your instructions. Now, my son is 32, daughter's 29. We lived together a lot of long time, all of us. Now I'm about to say something because I want you to hear what I'm really trying to say. As far as I remember, and you guys can help me here, if I'm not telling the truth, you know, let me know. But as far as I remember, we never had a devotional, quote unquote. We never had a time where we said, okay, at 6 o'clock tonight, we're going to sit down. Now, if you do that, that's fine. If the Lord's told you to do it, you better do it. I didn't do that. But what I did do was what this verse said to do. We talked about the things of God when we got up, when we walked on our way, when we were going here or there. We always were discussing the things in the Lord. And that caused our family to love the Lord thy God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all strength and mind. We loved Him. Our family as a unit loved Him. We saw Him as a real entity and a being and somebody that could take our lives and make it prosperous. We talked about God. Let's read this verse now. Deuteronomy 6:5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt walk of them. And shalt talk of them, when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Next verse. And thou shalt bind them, get this part now, thou shalt bind them for a sign, for what? For a sign upon thine what? Hand, and they shall be as frontlets, where? Between their eyes. And that space between your eyes will be marked with the word of the Lord and what they do. They'll be marked with the word of the Lord and what they think. It'll be as frontlets. It'll be in front of their lives. It'll always be in front of them. It's good, huh? I am good, aren't I? I am. I get them. They are frontlets. You know, when you come into, you stop trying to be something you're not and just let yourself be what you're supposed to be, something wonderful happens. God really does some wonderful things. Our children, we would be driving in the car and something would come up and we would just begin to discuss the Word of God. Even today, we'll be sitting around in our den, and something will come up, and we'll just start discussing the Word of God. Well, the Bible says, and the Scripture says, and well, this says, and this, and it's become a way of life with us. It's not a devotional where we're regimented into a specific time. Now, I'm not down on that, so don't mishear me. That's fine if that's what God's told you to do, but we walked in our way with it. We talked about the things of the Lord when we got up or when we went to bed. We talked about the things of the Lord at the table or sitting back in the living room. It was just a part of our lives. And this was worked into the thinking of my children. And today, my son's in the ministry with me. And my wife has married this wonderful man. My wife's married to me. Well, she's married to her. Hey, that'll work. My daughter has married a wonderful man and produced for me two wonderful grandchildren. And I'm telling you, life is determined by the mark. Now, a lot of us go through all kinds of hell because of our children. Not because of something we do, but because of something our children are doing. And we go through hell with them, for them, and because of them. Something happened in the marking process. Church was religion and not relationship. You might have brought them to church, but you still went through hell. See, you talk about these things. You make them real. You don't exasperate them, telling them to do something that you're yourself not doing. They see you. They watch you pray. They watch you live this out. It becomes a lifestyle. What's number one? presenting. Number two, training. Number three, training and instructions. Put the next frame up for me. Presenting, training, and instruction and discussion. You've got to talk about the things of God in your home. It provokes you. It'll provoke you to see how much your kids know. It'll provoke you if you really open yourselves and let them ask you questions about God. It'll put you in the Bible because you need to get them an answer. And you don't need to say, well, we'll ask the pastor about that. No, fathers. Fathers, chain up your children. I hope this has been meaningful to you. I hope this has blessed you. This is what you need to do to get the mark of the Lord for yourselves and for your children. Present yourselves. Put yourselves in a place of training. Receive the proper things of God. And then discuss those things in your daily walk. And walk them out. Amen.